Well, it's a great night, isn't it? We have had an incredible summer leading up to this. And one of the stories I wanted to share before I jumped in was this past summer, about 45 of our high school students went to a place called Camp Barnabas. And on the way up there, I had planned on taking the students to this restaurant that has been rated... Hold on. That has been rated the number one place to pig out on the Food Channel, okay? So on the Food Channel, they do the top 10 places to pig out in the country, and when it gets to number one is Lambert's in Ozark, Missouri. Now, at Lambert's, things are a little different. Do I need to use a different mic? No? Okay. At Lambert's, things are a little different. Everything is fried, even the salads, okay? And you get free refills on all the entrees, okay? So you can literally have a heart attack in the restaurant if you want to, okay? If that's your thing. And we literally feasted for about an hour in this, like, huge Cracker Barrel on steroids, okay? And I ate fried okra, fried ham, fried everything for an hour, okay? The most amazing, huge hot rolls they would throw at you. Literally, they'd come right out of the kitchen, yell hot rolls, and throw them, and you'd catch them. And at the end of the night, when we arrived at the camp, it was just us for one night, and we had some bad gas, okay? And the guys went into their room. It's about 11 o'clock at night, and we're starting to unroll our sleeping bags. And one of the guys, I'm not going to tell you who, because I'm not going to incriminate this person. One of the guys decided he was going to try and light a fart. Okay? And I had heard tales about this. I had heard stories about methane coming out of somebody's rear end and lighting on fire if you had a lighter. And many of the guys in this room said, it isn't so. There's no way. It's not possible. And so this one person... Listen up, no talking. If you're talking, you're wrong. This one person, like I said, I'm not going to incriminate him, said, I want to try this. And the first fart, you see a lighter come on and you hear this fart, but nothing happens. And so everybody's like, no way, this can't happen. We told you so. And then about 10 minutes later, you hear this in the middle of total darkness. Somebody bring me a lighter. And you hear like three guys say, I'll go get mine, which I'm not sure what that means, okay? So you hear people scurrying, and you hear people running to this person who, again, I'm not going to say who did it, saying, bring me a lighter, and all of a sudden, you see a spark come on, and a fart, and literally a flame shoot out for a split second, and then it comes back, and it stops, it goes out. Just for a moment, you saw this flame, and then all of a sudden in this room, it smells like a char-grilled fart, and everybody's about to pass out. Now, I want you to get this, because there's something spiritual in everything, okay? What was fun for a moment was not fun after that, because it smelled so bad. And what was fun even later when that person went to the bathroom was not fun when they went to the bathroom. Okay? And that is very much like sin. Sin is fun for an instant, and then it is not fun after that. And the consequences of sin after you sin are way, way greater than a char-grilled fart. Okay? I think all of us here tonight... And I know we have people here tonight that it's their first time here. And I know we have people here tonight that have been here for years, that have been coming back week in and week out. I think all of us tonight would agree that we sin. And I think all of us agree that we shouldn't sin. And what I want to do over the next 3 weeks is I want to lead you through a series called What Lies Beneath. And I want us to look at Scripture. And I want us to look at our hearts for the next 3 weeks, and ask God, what is going on inside of me to make me do the things that I do? What is going on inside of my heart that is making me sin on the external? Okay, so if you brought a Bible or if you've got a little blue card, if you don't have a blue card, by the way, if you'll raise your hand, I've got a couple guys in the back that will bring you one and a pen. If I could have Russ and Adam do that. There in the back right in front of the computer, there's pens and blue note cards. Okay, so if you guys could pass those out, that'd be great. If you do have your Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 6. We're going to hang out in three verses tonight. Okay, Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 43. Go ahead and keep your hands up, and we'll get you one. Okay, because what I want you to be able to do over the next 3 weeks is I want you to be able to take these with you. I experimented a little bit with this last spring, and a lot of our students still have their outlines that I used last April in their Bibles. Right? Some of you still have those. Hold them up if you do. If you have them sitting here, see, there's one right there, okay? So what I want you to do is I want you to use these as a tool for you to have for this whole year so that when you sin and when you make a mistake and you catch yourself, say, man, I know I shouldn't have done that. You can go back and look at some of these notes and look at some of God's word, and it can lead you to truth and help you to deal with the sin that's in your life. Okay? Are you with me so far? Are y'all excited? Yes? Okay, we're going to dive into Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 43. Does everybody have one? We're getting close. I'll wait for just a second. All right, hey, let me pray. I think everybody's set, and we're going to jump in, all right? Father, I pray that you would take the energy that our students had laughing about a fart and that you would focus it on your word right now, that we would look at your word, that we would be changed, and that we would walk away tonight with knowing just a little more, not just in our head but in our hearts, about what it means to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Luke chapter 6, Luke starts out saying this, "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand is there a bad tree which produces good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil, for his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart." What I want to do tonight is I want to walk you through that passage, and I want to give you a foundation that we're going to build on for the next 3 weeks. Okay? So let me start out, and in that first blank you've got, let me give you a context for your heart. Okay? So I'm going to give you some context. Context for your heart. Verse 43 says this. It says, "For there is no good tree which produces bad fruit, nor on the other hand a bad tree which produces good fruit." If you were alive back then, you would have lived, if you were listening to Jesus say this, you would have lived in a very mountainous area. And you would know that for a tree to grow, it's got to have strong roots. And so for them back then, roots were everything. Okay? And there were also two different groups of people that were listening to Jesus talk. Knowing that trees needed strong roots, especially where they lived, there was a group of people that were A, following Jesus, or B, they were Pharisees or some other religious group, and they were trying to keep the outside, what they were doing, appear clean, even though their hearts were dark. And so the people that were following Christ, the disciples, were learning day after day after day that following Christ is about having a pure heart. And then you have religious people that Jesus would say are trying to keep the outside of the cup clean, but really don't care about what's on the inside. And so they understand this. The roots matter, Okay, so when they hear just this first verse, verse 43, they know, Jesus doesn't have to say it, they know that roots affect trees. I told you earlier that we went to Camp Barnabas after the fart got lit and we went to sleep. I woke up at about 4 in the morning, okay? And I heard this loud thunder and this lightning that went off. And it was one of those that's loud enough that you're like, and it was close enough that you were like, I wonder what that hit. And you were too tired to go outside and look. But you think, tomorrow morning I'll go outside and look. And we get up in the morning and we look outside and a tree right next to the high ropes course at Camp Barnabas fell over and knocked one of the telephone poles over that was holding up some of the cables for the high ropes course. And when you went closer to the tree and you looked, you saw the roots were old, kind of shriveled up and short. And the reason that the tree fell over was because it had really, really weak roots. Some of you are here tonight, and if you are completely honest with yourself, if you really took time to look at your heart, you would say, man, my roots are not running deep. They are shallow, and I need to do whatever I need to do to grow those roots so that I can follow after Christ harder and so that I can bear good fruit. Jesus is trying to teach the people, and they're starting to get it. And you can write this down, that the root equals the heart, okay? And fruit equals the behavior, okay? That's the illustration here. Root equals the heart and fruit equals the behavior. And many of them know this because they've got passages in the Old Testament memorized. Passages like Proverbs 4:23 that says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And that's just one of the verses all over the scriptures that talks about the heart. But that one says, and it's written by a guy named Solomon who made a ton of mistakes. And at the end of his life, he looks back and he says, above all else, before you do anything else, guard your heart. It is the wellspring of life, which is another way of saying it's the root. Everything is going to come out of the root. Okay, so they're getting this. They start to understand it. And Christ's message all through the Gospels is love me with your heart, and the fruit will take care of itself. Did you get that? Love me with your heart, and the fruit will take care of itself. Love me with your heart, and the fruit will take care of itself. So you can have a heart that's alive, that's beating for God, that is saying, God, whatever I'm doing in my heart, whatever I'm thinking, I want it to be about you. Or you can have a heart that is beating completely for yourself. Completely for yourself. And the more that I read the scriptures, and the longer that I become a Christian, the more I've learned that the fruit will always take care of itself if I am focused on having a heart that is centered on Christ. And the more that I read this text, when I get past verse 43, look at what happens in verse 44. He says, each tree is known by its own fruit, and men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they pick grapes from a briar bush. Now, there would have been people there on that day that immediately they thought the right seeds matter. Okay? You have to have the right seeds to plant to get grapes or figs. And if you've got the wrong seeds, you're not going to get grapes. You're not going to get figs. You're going to get thorns. And so the more I thought about this, the more I thought about seeds, I thought about what kind of seeds am I putting into my heart? What kind of a foundation am I laying in my life that are going to trickle out and grow out of my life? And so I started asking myself in every situation when I was tempted to sin, I started asking myself, what is going on in my heart? How's my heart? I'll give you a great illustration. When I keep talking about Camp Barnabas, but when we went, the Lord really convicted me that I've got a body that works because we went and served disabled kids. And the Lord said, Mike, you've got a body that works, and you are treating it like garbage. And so when I got back, I started working out just a few days a week. And what would happen is I would be tempted to not work out one morning. I'd get up and I'd say, man, I feel like doing nothing. And I'd start to ask myself, Mike, what is going on in your heart? And I would get past the idea that I just don't want to go work out. I would start to ask myself, what is going on in my heart? And the bottom line for me at that point was that I am lazy. I don't want to do anything that's uncomfortable. And I think if you asked yourself that question about anything that you struggled with, any sin in your life, if you just stopped and said, what is going on in my heart? You would start to understand what's going on inside of you so that you could start to address the fruit that's in your life. If it's good fruit or if it's bad fruit. All right, so then I started asking myself even more specific questions. And I want to give you some of those questions tonight, because you can either ask yourself questions that are only going to be based on behavior, or you can ask yourself questions that are really going to feed your heart the way God wants to feed it. Okay? So here are some behavior-based questions. Here's the first one. What rules do I need to keep? Okay, what rules do I need to keep? Or you could say, what is permissible? What is permissible? What could I get away with, right? What rules do I need to keep? What is permissible? These are the questions that the religious people asked 2,000 years ago. What rules do I need to keep so that I will still appear religious? Okay? Number three, what can I get away with? If nobody else is watching, what can I do that nobody will know about? Last question. How far, have you ever asked this? Or maybe you've done this with your life? How far can I get to the edge? How far can I get to the edge without falling over? But heart-based questions ask this. Is my heart being ruled by God? Instead of what rules do I have to keep, is my heart being ruled by the author of my life? Number two, what does my daddy want? Instead of what is permissible, what does my daddy want? What does my heavenly father want for my life? Number three, instead of what can I get away with, you say, what's the highest form of worship? What is the best way that I can worship God? And the last one, instead of saying, how far can I get to the edge, you're saying, how far can I go for my Savior? How much can I do for the God that made me? See the difference there? We had almost 40 students show up today for kind of a student leadership team. It's called Debt Crew, and they have said, hey, we want to serve not only the high school ministry, not only Watermark, but we want to serve outside of these walls. And these students came, you know, 5 to 10 of them were upcoming freshmen, by the way, that didn't know a lot of the other students there. And they said, hey, I don't want my life to be about me. And we just said as a group, what can we do to get outside of ourselves? And what can we do, not just to serve Watermark, but how can we serve in South Dallas? How can we serve internationally? How can we bless people? And how do we love people with the love of Christ? That blessed me today to see people whose hearts said, how far can I go for God? What can I do for my Savior? How can I tell more people about Him? And that, by the way, if you hear that and you haven't heard of the Debt Crew, we meet every 2 weeks after the second service. If you get excited about that idea, it'll be the first and third Sunday every month, okay? After the second service. We'll always have a note in it in the Watermark News to remind you. We eat pizza and we just talk for an hour. We break into small groups and we talk about how we can serve. And that's the heartbeat that we want our entire high school ministry to have, is God, I want my heart to beat for you and for other people. I don't just want to live life for myself. I don't want to ask all those behavior-based questions so that I can make people think that I'm okay, so that I can appear okay to my family. But I want to live for an audience of one and for God to know my heart and for me to always be asking God, how can I make my heart beat more for you Those are seeds for your heart that are going to cause incredible fruit to come out of your life. Okay, so those are seeds. Let me just ask you, which of these questions do you ask? Now, I know you don't verbally say these, right? But if somebody looked at your life, what would your life be saying? Would your life be saying, I'll do anything for my Savior? Or would your life be saying, what can I get away with? Nobody will see it. As long as I can appear to be a good follower of Christ, that's all I want to do. You have to ask the right questions. Okay? Jesus didn't just die for you to have a free ticket to heaven. Jesus died so that he could mold your heart, so that he could grow your heart, so that you could be made more like him. All right? He didn't just die to get you to heaven. Remember, he spent 3 years with his disciples pouring into them, teaching them about what it meant to be like him. All right, this is the last thing we're going to do is we're going to identify your heart. We're going to identify your heart, okay? In your notes, you'll see letters A through H. And what I did was I just listed as many heart issues as I could think of, okay? And I'd love to define the first one for you because I think some people have gotten that word messed up, idolatry. An idol of the heart is anything that rules you other than God. Okay, an idol of the heart is anything that rules you other than God. Okay, and it will provide an inescapable influence over your life and your behavior. An idol of the heart will give you an inescapable influence over your life and your behavior. So whatever your idols are, okay, whatever your idols are, some of them are listed underneath pride, fear of man, approval of man, anger, self-righteousness, selfishness, insecurity. Whatever your idols are, whatever gets you really, really, really excited, those are your idols, okay? Now, what I want you to do right now is I want to give you 3 or 4 minutes. And instead of just giving you a ton of blank space without these root issues and saying, just write down the sins you struggle with, I want you to take the sins that you struggle with and write them down right next to these root issues. Okay? You see the difference there? Instead of just saying, I struggle with this, I struggle with that, I struggle with this, you are going to write down whatever you're struggling with and match it up to the root issues that are going on in your heart. So you can start to identify how you can follow Christ more. And we're just going to have 3 or 4 minutes where you just spend time. Patrick Ryan Clark's going to come up here and play for a little bit. With just a little music in the background, I want you to ask God to search your heart and just write down whatever sins and match it up with root issues. Okay, remember this week we are laying a foundation and we are taking a first step to dealing with the heart. Okay, so just take a minute and look at these. Idolatry, pride, fear of man, approval of man, anger, self-righteousness, selfishness, and insecurity. Just take a minute and look at those, and you should have a pen, and just start to write. I would encourage you tonight to continue to search your heart, continue to write. A guy named John Calvin said that if we're not careful, if we don't guide our heart, that the heart will become a factory of idols. The heart will be a factory of idols. So as you continue to write, just ask the Lord, search my heart for anything, things that I don't see that sneak up in my life, sins that I wrestle with. Because when we don't guard our hearts, when we don't follow Christ, our hearts can be so selfish. One of my favorite pastors is a guy named Andy Stanley, and every night when he tucks his kids into bed, he asks them one question. He says, "How's your heart?" That's the question he asks every single night when his kids go to bed. He's got a son who's 18. You know, it's still something that his dad believes is important. And as your high school director or pastor or whatever, I just want to ask you tonight, how's your heart? Is your heart beating for God? Are you at the beginning of a school year and you were like, "God, I will do anything for you. I don't know what's going to happen this year. I don't know what it's going to look like." Some of the freshmen that came tonight are like, "I don't know what Shoreline's going to look like." But is your heart alive and beating for God in the midst of everything around you, all the change, all the new things, all the new experiences? How's your heart? Even more importantly than me asking you, God wants to know, how's your heart? He wants to have an honest conversation with you about where your heart is. And if some of you are here tonight for the first time, where you've been coming to Watermark for a while and you have never, as far as you know, you've never taken a first step and you've said, "God, I want to begin a real relationship with you." If you've got any kind of doubts that you are not a Christian, that you've never maybe fully put your trust in God, none of this is going to help you. What I just shared with you is not going to help you unless you surrender your life to God. So if you're sitting here tonight and you're like, "Man, I am just not totally sure that I have a real relationship with Christ." And if you came with a friend, I'd love for you to just nudge your friend right now. And just as a sign of saying, "Hey, I need to know, can you talk with me or can you find somebody with me tonight that can talk with me about a real relationship with Christ?" I'm not talking about praying a prayer. I'm talking about living a real life that beats for God. I'm not talking about asking Jesus into your heart. I'm talking about saying, "God, I want you to rule my heart." Okay? And that's what we want the heartbeat to be in our high school ministry. For us to say that we know that life is not about us, but all about a living and active God that is moving and working in all of our lives, so that we can glorify Him and point people to Him and say, "This is where life is at." And I would love to speak truth into your life so that your heartbeat can start to beat for the God that loves every single one of us. And if you're here tonight and you don't know the person that's sitting next to you, I would love to talk to you. Some of the leaders here would love to talk to you about a relationship with Christ. So what we're going to do right now, just we've got a couple minutes. I'd love for us to sing How Great Is Our God one more time. Just a guitar and just our voices. And that we would say, God, you are great, you are perfect, and because of who you are, we want to seek after you. We want our hearts to be more like his. Amen? All right, let's sing out to God tonight.
The splendor of our King. Tries to hide, trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. And how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we see how great. Is our God, and edge to edge he stands. Time is in his hands, beginning and the end, beginning and the end. Look at it.
Thank you so much for these students. Pray that, that they would go into this week at their schools, that they would just think about this message, that it would change the way that their friends see them at school, that they would just shine as lights for you. And like our pastor says, God, I pray that this week would be a great week of worshiping you. In Jesus' name. Hey, real quick, you can have a seat. Just a couple quick announcements. Thank you for being here tonight, okay? Thank you for being here. And if you are brand new and you got a taste of this tonight and you were like, man, I want some more of that. And if you are not in a small group, that is a great way for you to connect. I would love for you to just take a step of faith and just come and talk to me before you leave. I'm just going to be sitting right here. If it's your first time here tonight and you're like, I want to get connected, okay? You felt a little bit uncomfortable tonight. You don't know a lot of people. please take one small step of faith and just come up to me and say hi, okay? And I will start a process of hopefully getting you connected into a small group, okay? But I can't do that unless you come and talk to me, okay? And also, if you're brand new, I need you to fill out an information card so that we can get you in our database, so that we can send you all of our stuff, okay? One other quick announcement, okay? We are selling Shoreline t-shirts, okay? Many of you saw them when you walked in. They're gonna be on sale for a while, but we have another t-shirt that's for sale. We've got some guys here at Shoreline that are in high school that started a ministry called A Generation That Speaks. If you want to stand up real quick, you can. These are some TCA guys. They started a ministry, and basically what they're going to do is they got together and said, we want our lives to count for more than just ourselves. And what they did is they started a ministry called A Generation That Speaks, and they're selling t-shirts that'll go on sale next week, and all the profit on all the t-shirts is going to go to an orphanage in Guatemala, okay? And so their t-shirts, they're going to cost 20 bones. Okay, you have them tonight? Okay, perfect. So if you've got 20 bones, know that that money is not going to go to Graham for his gas for his brand spanking new Explorer. That's really cool. It is going to go to an organization in Guatemala, that a Christian organization, an orphanage to bless kids that have nothing, okay? So that is just one step of faith that these guys took. They paid for the shirts themselves. They don't even know if one of us is going to buy one, right? And let me tell you, the shirts cost a lot of money, okay? So y'all are free to go. Have an amazing week. Thank you for being at the first Shoreline of the year.
Welcome to the planet. Welcome to existence. Everyone's here. Everyone's here. Everybody's watching you now. Everybody. We'll be right back.
salvation is here.
You're like a letter that's never mailed. You're like a